Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. I'm your host, Dave Turco, with co-host Judy Sellens. Tonight, folks, we're going to bring you an interesting story about conspiracy theories. We've sort of done some of these before, but you can't really even do these things enough because not enough people hear the show and listen to it, so we have to keep repeating it until everybody on the planet knows this stuff. And we're going to do roughly 20 conspiracy theories, declassified information. You know, you can get freedom of information. And that's a whole other story, by the way. There are tricks. There are tricks they use, police departments use, so that Freedom of Information Act can't be used if they do certain things when they record it or don't record it. It's really wild. Mm-hmm. This whole thing is wild, but what it... As I said, what it comes down to is, if you don't want to listen to the show, is that every single government lies. It's just how much they lie would kind of blow your mind. Anyhow, so in particular, just not just lying, but what end up being conspiracy theories, because people know on the ground that's not what happened. You know, when they see it on TV or the way it's portrayed by the government or their government's conclusions make absolutely no sense. And, you know, I have to say, as much as I am, you know, now the Fox Mulder of Blog Talk Radio, I definitely believe in conspiracy theories. When I still see things presented, I still tend to believe them as presented, just like I did with 9/11, which has gotten us literally censored and kicked off radio shows. We're not even saying it's our viewpoint. We were just listing factual information.
What we did was we released information that was declassified.
Correct.
Because they wait for like 10 years and then they declassify things, figuring nobody's going to remember anything anyway, so nobody's going to be bothered. So then they start slipping a few little papers out here and there. You know, and I think... When we put that on the air, I think it was a shock to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they believed what we were being told, when in actuality, these are government documents that
Correct.
Are saying that's not what went on.
It's extraordinary. And the thing is that people like us that tend to, like, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. And now, of course, in the age of computers, it's one thing in the 60s when they shot JFK, and that was a pretty uncanny shot by that dude to be able to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to piece it all together and you've got computers and you can do computer simulations, you can redo recreations very easily nowadays. And they can. And Lee Harvey Oswald did not shoot JFK from that book repository from the third floor at that angle. You can't get a sharpshooter in the world that can do that. And to do what that bullet did, let alone the Zapruder film.
Well, he couldn't have shot that fast either.
No.
They've already proven that time and again that he, as good of a shot, the very best shot ever, would not be able to shoot as fast as he had to shoot. I mean, he shot not just himself, but of course, you know, there was the other people injured. So.
Oh, correct. And then you know, when you find out who did the autopsy, what was his first autopsy ever? I mean, the president, really, not to brag or puff our chests out, but, you know, just like back in the day, the Emperor of Rome would have been the quote-unquote most important person in the world. You know, whoever's ruling at the time, and America is still, oddly, this dominant country. I don't know how, but so, you know, President Kennedy was basically the most important man in the world. not say he was better than anybody, and you have a rank amateur do this job, and then the discrepancies in the autopsy. Then you have eyewitnesses. Then you have the audio where it proved how many shots were actually fired, proving the impossibility of the official story. Yet they pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed the official story and made fun of everybody. You know, that's one of the things. If you've got the facts, this is one of the things, folks. When you know there's something they're hiding, it's just like with a person. A government's no different. They, instead of just sticking to the facts and let the facts say, hey, you might not believe this, but these are the facts. You know, if they had the facts on their side, that's what they would basically say. Here, we're presenting them to you. Prove me wrong. You can't do it. Yet, unfortunately, we can prove them wrong. And all they do is then say, you're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. Which, this whole thing about conspiracy theorists and labeling people like Judy Sellens, Dave Turco, came from the intelligence services of the United States in the 60s. When people started to catch on and question things, simply label them a name. Just like what's going on now. Sure, call somebody a bigot, fascist, liberal, right-wing. What do these things even mean? They're all subjective terms. Okay, always look the actual – what does somebody do? Look at – like Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Not by what a label is. Always unearth it. Look at the facts. Look at what really happened. And then you'll start to see the truth. It's absolutely wild how we are continually lied to. Even this thing coming – recently, with these destroyers, and the U.S. destroyers in the Pacific getting rammed.
Oh, I know. That's ridiculous.
The official story's bunk. I mean, I don't know what it is, and we'll never really know, but it's not negligent Navy personnel. What's most likely, from what I've gathered to this point, is the Chinese jamming or gaining control of our well, basically, the ability of the ship to either have to use its radar, navigational system, however you want to express that, and screw it up so that we end up colliding with these boats. Can't take evasive action, can't communicate with them, don't know what's going on. But they'll never tell you that because that's actually a big deal, that they might have the ability, or North Korea or Russia, whoever's doing it. I don't know. But it's much more likely something like that's actually going on. After all this time, there's actually been four incidents since January involving U.S. naval vessels colliding, basically losing control of their navigational systems. It's bizarre. But the official story is pitiful and doesn't make any sense. And then you get into all these things where that are happening in this country and the world. You see what's presented on TV, take it with a grain of salt. Do your research as best you can, but now we have the internet. And when you see people coming up with these great conspiracy theories, they may be tantalizing, but question them too. I've always said, question our show. Question anything we say. Judy and I do a lot of research and try to cite where we get our information. Go research it. Go look it up for yourself. A lot of it does sound crazy, like when we were talking about Hollow Earth. We talked about Hollow Earth, but the Hollow Moon and how the moon could actually be an artificial structure, basically.
Yes.
Because Newtonian physics does not explain the moon. And here we just had a solar eclipse, right? The only way we can have a solar eclipse is that the size of the moon in the exact orbit it happens to be in exactly blocks out the sun and vice versa for a lunar eclipse. How uncanny. Think about, you know, it's more than winning the lottery. The chance that, one, our moon, we already know, is too big for Earth to have as a satellite. Look at Jupiter. Look at Saturn. Look at any other planet that has a moon. Or, you know, you call them a moon or whatever, a satellite that runs, that spins around them. They're always much smaller in size compared to the planet itself. One planet has a moon or satellite around it nearly the size of the moon compared to the planet it is. In fact, if Jupiter had something that big, it would be probably about the size of Uranus or something, or Neptune. I mean, it'd have to be that big. And that just doesn't happen. Then from Stanford University, we had their astronomers, when they did that thing of shooting a charge, basically a blast, into the moon, and it rang like a bell.
Yep.
Stunned the heck out of them, but they reported it because that was their data. And all they could say was, well, what does that? A hollow object.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of information about the moon.
You didn't hear that on any news station or anything that, oh, gee, you know, they shut off a blast and it made the whole moon ring like a bell.
Yeah, how many people knew that? And that is out of a scientific journal from Stanford University.
Yeah.
This is made up. This is true. You can look at the guy's name. You know, when we did that show, go back. Most of our shows in the beginning, I didn't title them. I just put Unknown Zone. Like this one is The Unknown Zone, 20 Conspiracy Theories Declassified Documents Proved to Be True. You know, Hollow Earth, Hollow Moon, Moon is the Satellite, whatever I put in. You can scroll through and see it and listen to the whole show. There is bizarre stuff out there happening all the time. It's basically why Judy and I do the show. There's bizarre stuff all the time.
We've been doing this show for how many years? And we just keep finding more and more unusual stuff.
We started at least, what, 2003, 2002? Because my brother died in 2003. We were doing the show then. It was either 2002 or 2003. What's 2017? Judy, we're pushing 15 years now.
Yeah, right.
Of a weekly radio show.
Last year, not this past, but the last year was 14 years we've been on.
Yeah, we rarely even duplicate our show. And sometimes we have to have a timeout. The government gives us a timeout when we get too close to the truth.
They're going to give us another one for next week, probably.
We get visits. We get phone calls. I was visited personally.
We get our computers messed with.
My place of work, I had my phone tapped, blew the Verizon, I'll call him repairman, the technician. If you could have seen his face when he disconnected my phone and it still worked.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, this is a landline. No, I hear you. This is a dial tone. He's like, it can't be a dial tone. I cut the wire. He's like, okay, who wired this? Who did this? I'm like, well, it was my brother-in-law. He goes, no, he didn't. Well, as I said, not that I don't even care. I don't have any secrets. We don't even lock our door. Well, no, we do lock our door now. But
You shouldn't tell that on the air that you don't lock your door.
I don't even have a key to the house.
I mean, I live up above somebody and my doors are locked. Only because my cat knows how to escape.
Right. I don't have a cat or a dog or a bird or a fish or whatever. Mm. It's crazy. I don't care. You know, they could get in anyway. But clearly,
most cops will tell you they don't come through doors anyway. They'll usually come through a window.
Well, but this was not a cop. This was clearly somebody from an intelligence agency. Creepy to think some dude or woman, could have been anybody, was very near where I am sitting right now, you know,
ruined
putting the bug in,
stuff.
Fiddling with our watch. It's bizarre. But I'm like, as we've said before, all these ultra boring conversations we force the, you know, NSA to listen to. Sorry.
We do that once in a while just to keep them bored.
Right. Hopefully we've changed their minds a little bit. Then we talk about, you know, auras again, but.
Mm-hmm.
Which are all true, too, by the way. Beside the point. Anyway, yeah, it's just been a long ride, and there are just so many things.
It's been a boring ride, though, because, you know, when it gets right down to it, whether it was just that, you know, it's been a long time and we've had fun doing the show and everything else, it's also been a learning experience because you're learning about things that you wouldn't normally even learn.
Correct.
You know, you're not going to hear about what we're talking about on any TV program or whatever. I mean, you're going to listen to us two knuckleheads, and we're going to tell you stuff that you never heard before. And you may have heard it, but we're going to tell you as much of the truth as we can possibly tell you.
Correct.
You know, whatever we can find out, and if we find it you know, that it seems to be true, we're going to tell you. You know, we couldn't find a reason to say this wasn't true. So
right. A lot of things, we don't know the motive or what the really reason is.
Yeah.
However, what we have found, by literally doing over 1,000 topics over the years, is because we've done so many and so varied, is we actually able to put so many of the pieces of the puzzle together that most even fabulous researchers haven't put together. This isn't to brag or anything, because we make no money doing this. We're not on Ancient Aliens. We're not on the History Channel. We don't have a TV show.
No.
You know, blah, blah, blah.
But you know, we found this out, Dave, over the years, when we've done a show about something that nobody has even heard about, and we go on and say, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever heard this before, but, and no sooner do we do that show,
yeah,
then it's either on the news,
right,
or it's somebody comes out and does a program on it.
Absolutely. And this is the thing. We know we're surveilled by the intelligence purposes, okay? That's number one. Number two. Number two. I wonder who they like better, me or you.
I don't know. I mean, it would be like, you know, it just depends on the people, because, I mean, if there are women that's sitting out there in their cars listening, they're probably thinking, look at that Dave, he's kind of cute. And then if it's me, it's like, look at that old lady. She's still up there, you know, bitching and moaning. So,
oh, man.
What can I tell you? I don't know what. I mean, how about the time when we both had black cars sitting out in front of our houses?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was like, there were just a couple of guys sitting in there for a long time. And it's like, who are they?
Oh, exactly.
I said, I don't know, but I've got them too.
Let me tell you something. That's all real. And
I think that was after 9/11, if I wasn't mistaken.
Well, like I say, and we will get to our topic, but always have fun, folks. You know what? Like, number one, we're all in the same pool here. We're human beings on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to figure out what the heck's really going on here. But, you know, I don't have my own private bunker. I don't have some, you know, 60,000 acres in Bolivia like the Bush family has.
Mm-hmm.
We brought you that. That's news, and none of it's original. We find it, but we piece it all together. You'll never find that in a regular news, because they're not going to say, oh, isn't it funny that the Bush family owns 60,000 acres of prime land in Bolivia where nobody is. This is real. Why would that be? You know, they're not developing it. They're not drilling for oil, whatever. This is an escape route for these people. They have compounds built there. The super rich and these psycho, quote unquote, elites and their puppets have bunkers and places stationed all over the world. All these things go across. When you see this thing like U.S. versus China, U.S. versus Russia, this crap, you know, we all have tendencies like either being liberal, middle of the road, conservative, whatever it may be. So you might pull for your candidate. You might root against whoever, like my favorite punching bag, Hillary Clinton. And I was a lifelong Democrat, believe me, but she was just – what they did to Bernie is just sick. And again, you won't see that in the media, what they did to Bernie. But that's another thing. But the whole thing is that's all a sideshow. The Republicans, the Democrats – In other countries, or these fake wars, these wars really go on. Our guys really, you know, women, our military do go. They really fight, just like these conspiracy theories and what they call false flags. People really, like in 9/11, don't let anybody tell you that the people didn't die there.
Mm.
People did die, but it was a false flag. It wasn't what was portrayed, but people really do die.
Well, they do die in false flags anyway, because Pearl Harbor was a false flag.
And you've got people that infiltrate these groups, and just like on the internet, bringing you straight. Nobody died at Sandy Hook. Okay.
Yeah.
Were there crisis factors there? Absolutely. That has been proved. But did those teachers die? Did those kids die? Of course they died.
Mm-hmm.
They're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were oddities about that even. Not one body was identified at the morgue. They were identified by pictures. That's the first time in history that's ever happened. And they just gave this stupid excuse that it's too traumatic for the This happens every day. You think in Chicago, where all those people get shot all the time, every single day, and they have to be identified. They're somebody, too. You think that it's by a picture, and that's like too traumatic for the parents or the siblings or the wife or the husband? No. They don't care. You do. This is your job. You have to identify it. It has to be done in person. When they dismantled that Sandy Hook Elementary School, or whatever it was called, Sandy Hook, I guess, yeah, elementary school, the company that dismantled it and demolished it all had to sign those release forms that say they will never discuss what they saw there.
Mm.
Okay, you got to be kidding, right? They're just demoing the building. Isn't it largely cleaned up? I am assuming even if there was blood after it was, you know, Lance is dead. So what's more to do? Why wouldn't that be cleaned up and then just they demolished the building? I mean, why? What was there? Because there were things that didn't add up to the official story. That's why. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. But all I can say is everything is basically a shell game. It's like a dog and pony show for us. To allow a few people to stay in control of the world. It's not just America. Even at the level of, as we have found out when we did shows on World War II, right, Judy? That
yeah.
The people behind it were financing both sides. They won no matter who won.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm glad that the Allies won because we were allowed to have freedom, even though it was kind of a short time. We're kind of turning into what they were anyway, but we at least had freedom and we weren't, you know, those, you know, the Nazis and the Japanese, the Axis, those people were really psychos. The guy from Yugoslavia, Hirohito, Tito, all of them, they were nuts. But when you find out some of the heinous things that the Allies did too, to Dresden and some pretty scary things that were unnecessary, but whatever. It's all part of the big game. And whenever they suck you in by religion, by race, by any of that stuff, fear, believe me, it is not that there isn't some prejudice amongst people. Probably everybody has some level of it. You know, I'm not saying it's big or that they act on it, but whatever. You know, I cheer for America when we're in the Olympics, whatever. Why, you know, should we? Shouldn't we just cheer for the best person to cross the finish line first? But I like it when the American wins. I'm an American. But I'm pretty much, you know, not a flag-waving American, and I never really was. I'm pretty much a human, you know, I'm earthling or whatever. But when we get into these conspiracy theories, this is what it's all about, is don't be trapped into the game. Always stay somewhat detached that, look, we're all human beings here. And there really is. I believe it is a spirit, just like it talks about in the Bible, Judy.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, what did Jesus do? He cast spirits out of people. The people that were really screwed up, right? That guy that he cast them out of that guy and it went into those pigs and the hogs, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It ran
yeah.
into the ocean, right? But that's what he was doing and that's what he was teaching. That was Jesus Christ, right? And there was a time when that was simply accepted. I, you know, as a scientist.
There's been so many changes from these different, what you want to call radical. I call them radical fundamentalists, not just fundamentalists, but they're radicals. And when they get into this, it's like they've been telling people that Moses wrote the Constitution. And the people believe it.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, how far can you go to tell people absolute crap and they believe it? Because, you know, they're so used to being told this is what's the truth that they can't think for themselves to look at it and say, well, that doesn't make a damn bit of sense.
Right. When I saw in the last election, Judith, this is hilarious. This guy goes around and it was real in that he was doing it, and it was real in that these are just random people on the boardwalk, you know, at the beach. However, so he says to them, okay, have you been following, you know, it's like Trump versus Hillary at that point. And did you hear that Richard Nixon was getting in the race? Oh, okay, yeah. And they were just
they
going
don't
along.
Know anybody.
Richard
they
Nixon
really don't.
Dead. You know, plus, he couldn't run anyway, even if he were alive, because he had already served 2 terms and impeached, whatever. They don't know anything. It is extraordinary how little people know. I mean, just like those great things when they've got a globe, right? And they'll say, find North Korea. And then it's fake. And so you'll have Australia. Instead of saying Australia on it, it says North Korea. Like, oh, there it is. Okay, even if they showed me, I know that's Australia, not North Korea. I was, oh, that's okay. You got it right, buddy.
But you'd be surprised, David. These people, like I said, they have been just told, this is a book. Our old favorite that we like to pick on is Columbus Discovered America.
Correct.
Hello. He did not. He didn't discover it. I mean, the Minoans were in it was before it was the United States, but they were
right
over here in our Great Lakes for 1,000 years before he showed up.
No, Judy. It was, that was like 4,000 to 6,000 years ago, thousands of years before him, but they stayed. They were coming to the U.S.
They stayed 1,000 years.
Yeah. Exactly. They stayed and had a mining operation out of the Great Lakes area. They can prove this.
Absolutely.
Metallurgists can prove where anything comes from. It's just like, for instance, in World War II. Okay, here we go with World War II. The Japanese had that funny kind of bomb system where they used a balloon and had bombs attached to it. And they had sandbags, and they dropped the sandbags. They had those things timed, and that's how they basically then eventually the bomb would just hit because whatever the way they had this thing rigged, right? So they assumed that this thing was from Japan. No. They assumed that it had come from they had somehow come ashore on say Oregon coast, filled up the balloon, stuck it on there, and then it landed somewhere in inner Oregon. So one went as far east as Ohio, I believe, and it was considered the first intercontinental missile. Well, the thing is, scientists, even then, by analyzing the sand from the sandbags, proved that it was actually sand from near Fukushima, Japan, that these things were actually being launched from Japan. Okay? In the same way, you could take a piece of metal, and true metallurgists can tell you where that metal is from. They can tell the ore. They can tell where it's from. That's how they knew.
Yeah.
Just like when in the Great Pyramid they found tobacco. Okay, they knew it was from South America. They're like, okay, that doesn't fit, so let's not talk about that too much. Because how was it 4,000 years ago they had tobacco? Couldn't have been. But it was, because there was world travel back then. The Minoans, 6,000 years ago at least, were in the Great Lakes mining. Was it copper or tin?
Copper.
Copper, right. Now, it's extraordinary, but true. However, they were really here in what is physically now the U.S., but let's just call it North America. For some odd reason, in the 1800s...
Which they can prove, because Native Americans all through up that section have their DNA.
Correct. Just like when we did the show with the Indians in different parts of the world, the Native Americans, I should say, made petroglyphs, rock drawings, whatever you want to call them, in rock. And even as far west as Oklahoma were European-style boats, which proved, and because of the style of the boat, they can tell when they came over. People from Ireland, people from Norway, whatever, 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, were as far west as Oklahoma. And then on the reverse side, people, true, from Asia had come over too. It's been going on a long time. People have always been moving all over the world. But for some reason, we've decided there was no contact, and Columbus in 1492 discovered America.
Yeah.
Well, he made it to the Isle of Hispaniol. Clunk, which is, it is something, granted, but he already had a map. Where did that map come from? His imagination? Wake up, folks. You know, for some reason, but if you queried people, okay, Columbus discovered America, they think America proper, which as Americans we refer to, not to dismiss Central America, South America, whatever, it's all the Americas, get it? But we have always referred to the United States as America, because it's United States of America. It's not to, we're not dissing anybody else, believe me. Americans really are the most open people. We really are. Accepting, I took a walk on the beach. There was a woman in complete Muslim garb, you know, just her face was showing, that was it, in the water.
Wow.
And it wasn't a bikini either. I mean, she was drenched in this big soggy thing. To me, it's ridiculous, but I'm not going to say, hey, get out of here. She has every right to be there. She's probably an American, I'm sure. I heard her speaking, you know, English, you know, with an American accent. No big deal. We don't care. It's fine. As long as you abide by the law, I abide by the law, you're welcome. It's fine. And but anyway, he never came to America. Yet for some reason, it's in their interest of the elites to make us think this. It's really bizarre. Okay, Judy, so we got a half hour to go. Want to hit some of these crazy...
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, as far as disinformation being put through the media and all that, that was basically called Operation Mockingbird. And that was started by the CIA director, William Colby. And, you know, it was like they had like over 400 agents at that time who were working in the media to control what was the, you know, what kind of reports would go through the American television mainstream, whether it was newspapers, television, or magazines, and that all began in the 1950s under the director of Alan Dulles of, you know, Dulles Airport fame. And, it, you know, although most of the files are still classified today, there are a few that, that aren't. And so you can get in and check out some of it. But they still keep that classified, and they do that because they're still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than that, they would release the, oh, this is what we used to do, ha, 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 kind of idea. And they say journalists today are still on the payrolls. And some were, you know, brave enough to talk about a lot of different subjects and stuff. But they would go on the air. They were working for the media, and they were CIA agents.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that hasn't changed. That's still the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it gets, I mean, they do have names to these things. It's like, you know, some of them are different little names.
Well, Judy, what I wanted to say was, what is so bizarre is, when they denied everything over and 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 over, and then you had something like X-Files, and they were allowed to use things like Project Paperclip. Well, guess what? Project Mockingbird, Project Paperclip, MKUltra, all of it's true. Area 51, all true. Groom Lake, all true. Now, is every single thing we ever were told about it? Of course not. I mean, there are a lot of people out there throwing out disinformation about the disinformation. Enough to make your head spin. However, all these things are true. The government using the intelligence services, this, I'm trying to find the name of this guy, Judy. He is a former CIA agent himself who used to do this stuff. Just a couple of days ago, gave a big speech out west to his, as he says, risking his life, basically, certainly his whole career, but he's left the CIA, basically saying just what we're talking about right now, that all these conspiracies are true, and this is how they do it. And he calls it the shadow government. And he said kind of what I was echoing at the top of the show about how it's a sideshow. All these people control. They're all controlled. This illusion of Republican and Democrat, believe me, they all work together. All of these things are working together. They're behind the scenes having a ball. You know, I didn't even bother to mention names. You all know who the actors are. They're on the TV all the time, making these big shows, sometimes crying and sobbing. They don't care about Detroit or East LA. Mm-hmm. Because if they did, we have the wherewithal. If we have enough money, we have trillions of dollars we can throw at needless wars that get us nowhere. We could fix Detroit tomorrow. We could fix the problems in East LA. We could fix the murder rate in Chicago easily. We could educate everybody. We wouldn't have anybody who can't have lunch in school or any of that. Easily, we could. And yet, you know, when it comes to it, they'll say, oh, these people want to take this away. Oh, they want to take that away. Or this will do this, but I'll protect you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give a damn. How do we know? By your actions. And this is essentially what this guy's saying. He was just saying, because I was on the inside, I can tell you how it works and who's behind it. And he also says it's global. This whole thing is global. They're elites that control all these. If you notice, it's not just the USA. Why does the USA have to have 17 different intelligence services?
Well,
and look at what happened when any of the presidents tried to get rid of the or pull in. That's why JFK, I mean, I know it's fun to talk about UFOs and JFK and why he really got murdered and RFK, too, for that matter. Look at the FBI. They were trying to rein in the intelligence services. I guess it was the OSA at that point, or had it already turned into NSA. All of these intelligence services became sort of super governmental. They're beyond the government somehow. And how they, according to the CIA agent, the way they control it all is through war and keeping the people divided, divide and conquer war, divide and conquer war. And it just kind of, you know, on and on and on and on and on. I was just seeing if I could find it real quick. It was really fascinating. I couldn't take it anymore because I sort of know it, but it makes you sick because in a sense it's like we've gone so far. How much hope is there? You know, even though when we report these things and get a few people say, hey, you know, what the heck is this? It's more or less just for informational purposes because we can't act on it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, people think, you know, we tied up World War II with a bow, right? With the surrender and, you know, here's a good one. Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun killed themselves in a bunker. True or not true, Judy?
No, it's not true.
And
he lived happily ever after over in Argentina.
Correct. Correct.
I mean, we recently, not that long ago, what was that person's name over here in Connecticut, right near us, and they did a study on the bones for DNA and all that, and there were other studies done on the skeleton on that on the two bodies that were there, and you know, the one skeleton showed that the DNA, there was no way it was either one of them.
Correct.
And the other one showed that the one that was supposed to be shot in the head, but that was a woman.
Correct.
So it wasn't Hitler. Hitler's body was not there.
No, it was not there. And there's overwhelming evidence that shows that, one, he got out by plane.
Yeah, he did.
By a circuitous route to eventually, and they even used a road right in Berlin or wherever that was.
Well, right down where they used to do their parades.
Uh-huh, correct.
So what they did was they went out there and they cut down or took down those big fancy lamp posts that they
correct.
Had.
That's right.
And then when they go back, not even that long ago, just a very few years ago, to do this study to see if it was possible to land a plane there, well, not with those, you know, the light posts there.
Right.
So they go up and they examine the light posts, and they had been cut down at one time and rewelded and put back up again.
Correct.
So they knew then, when they measured it, that you could have a pretty good-sized plane land there and take off again And so the person that did that was one of the mucky mucks, I guess you'd want to call him, to with the Nazis. And he pulled in there and he sat there and just idled that plane while Hitler and Eva Braun and a bunch of other of the better known Nazis actually did underground. There were tunnels all over the place. And they just went underground, came up in the park right near there, got on the plane and took off, and that was the end of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, they did land in a couple of different countries because they went to a country not far from there, and I can't remember now right offhand.
I think it was actually Denmark.
It might have been Denmark because they landed there to take a bigger plane.
Correct.
And they took a bigger plane out of there, and when they examined it, the people all talked about this big plane that they had in the hangar there. It was a big hangar, and it had a runway, which is now covered in grass, but it was a runway. So then they flew to Spain, actually, first off.
Mm-hmm.
They you know, refueled the plane, and they got out. People saw them. They saw them walking around. They were, you know, and they knew who he was. I mean, it wasn't like the people didn't know. But that's why they left Spain alone, why the Nazis never messed with Spain, because they had this, like, agreement that if they got out of Germany, they would have to go and land somewhere to refuel, because then they went down to, what, the Canary Islands.
Correct.
And off the Canary Islands, they had submarines waiting.
That's right.
And all they had to do was get on the subs, and then they had all these native people who talked about these submarines coming down their river and all these Nazi people getting off the subs.
Correct. Right. So in the same way, think of Amelia Earhart. For some reason, they were allowed to finally kind of get that one off. The U.S. government knew all along that, and obviously the Japanese government knew all along.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to Noonan and Amelia Earhart? The Japanese had them and either executed them. I think they were really executed, but they were imprisoned and they died. The U.S. government knew this all along and allowed this fake Amelia Earhart mystery to go on for decades. Bizarre.
Yeah.
When, again, through declassified information and some mistakes of that photograph that was misplaced that they didn't declassify but got their hands on it by mistake, proved that they were there the whole time and the U.S. government knew the whole time. This is true just across the board. They simply don't tell the truth. So with World War II and thinking that we're told that, and I'm sure if we did a little survey on the street, most people would say, yeah, he died in a bunker, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Eva
yep.
Braun, yeah, they died. Yeah, they got him. Mm-hmm. He was a coward. He's a coward. Well, granted, probably, but usually cowards don't kill themselves. That's actually a pretty brave act. Yeah, cowards just don't do that. And he and she and a whole bunch of others, as Judy pointed out there, went off, made their way. They had the contingency plans, made their way to Argentina. There is overwhelming evidence. One, keep in mind, folks, that even though we call it a world war, our world, but South America, Central America was largely untouched from in the Pacific. Well,
yeah.
But a lot, we'll just leave it at that, was largely untouched. There were a lot of Nazi sympathizers in Argentina. A lot of Germans had already gone before them. They were very welcomed there and in Brazil and lived a phenomenal life for we don't know
well,
how long.
They went there and they took a lot of money with them.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's when they started building that home for Hitler. So they knew he was coming.
It's absolutely possible that Adolf Hitler lived into his 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's so creepy. But in any case, the Nazis were defeated, right? But they went to Argentina and they joined the ranks of the conquerors, the U.S., U.K., and Russia, in a dirty deal of illegal immunity for inside information. The German scientists, technicians, and engineers, this is also true of the Japanese, by the way,
mm-hmm.
because they had made brilliant and groundbreaking advances in many fields in the lead-up to the war, and the victors didn't have any moral problem with the Nazis' weapons of mass destruction. The only problem was that the brilliant scientists were on the wrong side, and so they did all this nasty stuff through, yes, Operation Paperclip. How do you think we got not only NASA, think Wernher von Braun, but Plum Island, which gave me Lyme disease? Have you had Lyme disease yet?
No, our whole family's had Lyme disease, but I don't get out that often.
As it turns out, Lyme disease did not actually originate in America. And the first case really wasn't in Lyme, Connecticut, hence the name, which is very close to where we live. It was actually first discovered in evidence of it in the Ukraine. How? Because the Germans had created the strain of what we now call Lyme disease and were using it as bacterial warfare against the Ukrainians. Those same scientists that created that were brought to the United States to work on Plum Island, which is a little island, sadly, right off our coast.
Yeah, I know.
Danger, danger, danger. Let's see here.
There was that Northwoods.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to say Operation Northwoods. That goes back to JFK.
Yeah, yep.
This is, I'll just read it. This is a great one for all those who think that the government would never hurt its own citizens. See, this is a thing that they always bank on, Judith. Just like, they would never do that. It can't be a 9/11 inside job.
That's why they flew over small towns, especially down throughout the South, and dropped all kinds of bacterial crud on these people. And then wrote down how fast they got sick, how many died, and how many survived it. That was their own planes that did it.
Yep, they would spray people in the South, in the fields. They would also, in the New York subway systems.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Put things in. They were doing it until very recently in the UK. Mm-hmm. That was forced open. Yeah, all these countries do this stuff. It's bizarre. It's unbelievable. We are collateral damage. Remember, elites think they're up here, we're down there. And we're expendable, we're just sheeple, we're, I like you to say it because you say it so well. Henry Kissinger calls us useless.
No, useless feeders.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
such a nice name.
So blank and rude. but very fitting of, I just saw his age, I think he's 93 or 5.
Oh, he's up there. Yeah,
94?
Mm.
Man, the devil hasn't taken him back yet. Anyway, Operation Northwoods. Yeah, they heard there. Every society has no problem hurting its own citizens. Newsflash. Operation Northwoods was the outrageous plan for the U.S. military to attack its own people in cities, Washington, D.C. and Miami, as a false flag operation to frame Cuba. It was a pretext to invade Cuba. The 1962 declassified U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff memo was entitled Operation Northwoods, Justification for U.S. Military Intervention in Cuba. That was the name of it. In its own words, the document states that a series of well-coordinated incidents will be planned to take place in and around Guantanamo to give a genuine appearance of being done by hostile Cuban forces. Luckily, JFK had the brains to reject the plan. In 1962...
Well, he fired that Joint Chiefs of Staff, Limited?
Yeah.
He fired him.
Yeah.
And that's what stopped the whole thing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it? That's how close we were to that insanity. Now, I would suggest to you, when you look at places like Iraq War I under George Bush Sr., when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, right? Okay, this is the thing. Saddam Hussein might have been a monster. He was our monster. We created him. Again, we brought this up on one of our shows. He worked for the CIA back in the early 80s. We put him in power. He was our patsy. And
so did Osama bin Laden.
And so did his name was Tim Osman. That was his agent name. But Osama bin Laden worked for the United States people. Maybe not in the end, but at one time he did. And same with, so he is full well aware, was aware that the United States is the world's biggest superpower. Could take out anybody at any time that they want, including me and you. So what's the likelihood that Saddam Hussein would crazily just attack Kuwait? Well, what happened was, which they did, they were sucked in by April Glasby, was the ambassador or whatever she was at the time, lied to Saddam Hussein saying, we have no problem if you take back Kuwait. Then they had the Kuwait ambassador's daughter pretend to be testifying in Congress. She really did do this, testifying, and look it up on YouTube. She was the ambassador's daughter pretending to be a nurse from Kuwait, lying about how the Iraqi forces came in and were like unplugging kids in incubators and stuff like that, all made up to make it seem like they were monsters to get the American people. One thing I can tell you, most people don't go to war. American people don't like us going to war. But it is justified when they blow up New York City or, you know, any of these sorts of attacks.
That's why they use false flags, because what a false flag does is it keeps people angry. And then they believe that we are being attacked or whatever. And so then they'll back whoever wants to go to war.
Now, the thing is, I could be wrong on this one. I really do think Kim Jong-un or whatever his name is in North Korea, he does seem like a legitimate wing nut.
Oh, I think he's crazy.
I do really think he's crazy. But as far
absolutely.
As Muammar Gaddafi, Libya was a pretty good country. It was actually a safe country, clean country. And I believe per capita income was the highest in all of Africa. If you got married, you got a large stipend. Everybody went to university for free. If they didn't have the curriculum in that country, they paid for you to go abroad to be educated. I'd take that. I'm not saying I want Muammar Gaddafi as my leader, but there were things that we wanted him out, so we did it. What can I say? One of my favorite ones, Judith, is MKUltra. This is a nasty one. This is really about mind control.
Oh, absolutely. And we still have HARP out there that can do it.
We absolutely do. That's been proven. That we can create not just sounds in your head, or like somebody who's susceptible thinks they're talking to a Martian. Remember that sort of thing that happened all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Sirhan. He killed RFK, supposedly.
Yep.
He said that there was a voice in his head. It was probably some intelligence service doing this stuff to him.
Well, you know where they learned how to do mind control was from the Nazis.
That's correct.
That was just more of our Nazi scientists that we had here.
Mm-hmm. MK Ultra has become famous for being synonymous with mind control. The MK stands for mind control. The German spelling of control is K, control with a K.
Mm-hmm.
That's what MK comes from. With a nod to the German Nazi scientists who developed it for the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And who were brought here under the dreaded paper Project Paperclip. It's real sick. But anyway, they take susceptible people. They infiltrate all these wacky organizations like militia. Not to say militias are wacky. The majority of these people are fine. They might not think the way most people think or the way I think or you think, but they are law-abiding. They just sort of believe something else. But they're always susceptible people. They prey on these people, and they do this MK Ultra stuff to them. They do the typical – I'm not going to get into the details because it's sick. But they do nasty things to people to make them really guilty, easily manipulated. They break down their personality. It's all known. They could do it to virtually anybody. You know, if they got you and they had you in a holding cell, they can do whatever they want to you.
And if you want to know what HARP can do, then look up HARP. It's H-A-A-R-P, HARP. And so you want to look that up because it's amazing what they can do with that thing.
And if you don't want to, just go to Unknown Zone and just search HARP, and our show comes up. And we'll do the research for you because it's there, and we've talked about the whole thing and what it can do.
The whole thing's on there.
It's unbelievable where they are. They're all over the world. It's not just HAARP. They use different names, but it's the same thing. There are these high-energy frequency arrays all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
They can do things like shoot up scalars. They can cause man-made
earthquakes. They can put holograms into the sky that would make you think that we are being attacked by motherships and stuff. That's how big they would be.
Yeah, they can send scalar waves into the earth and create earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
They've done that to China. China can do it to us. I still believe Superstorm Sandy was some sort of, they call it the Frankenstorm. It still makes no sense to this day how it formed, how it acted. I was in contact with a meteorologist, Frank Campagna, who was in contact with NOAA because he was a legitimate meteorologist, so he was allowed to have daily updates from NOAA. And he asked the question, how can it have such a low pressure when the speed was only 75 miles an hour of the wind?
Right.
It's a one-to-one relationship. It's never been seen, and they had no answer for him because me being a nerdy engineer asked him the same question. He goes, okay, that's a great question. I asked that of NOAA, and they had no answer for me.
Mm-hmm.
Tells you something. Okay, CIA drug smuggling.
Oh, that was that has literally funded I don't know how many of our programs.
You got it. It's all about money and power. It funds the CIA. It allows the CIA to work outside of the boundary of Congress because they have their own money, and it's largely through drug money.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's something. You can never get rid of all of it, but absolutely they're part of it, and they keep it flowing. They keep it flowing big time. There's something called Operation Gladio.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before. But
oh, yep, that's from the Italian. Well, it's really – it's not Italian. It's Latin. Gladius is what it is, or we'd call it Gladius, but Gladius would be the Latin. Yep, it continues to this day. It's a NATO operation, Stay Behind, operation in Italy during the Cold War. It became famous when the Italian Prime Minister Andreotti talked about it. Gladio involved the Freemasons, Mafia members, and the Vatican, who all united with the CIA and NATO. See, here you go, interlocking elite groups in a holy war against communism. So I kind of like that because I really do believe communism is even worse than the other things, but whatever. Operation Gladio was responsible for some horrible atrocities and false flag attacks in Italy, such as the bombing of the Bologna train station in 1980, all false flag. Today, you know, again, this is the thing. If a country wants to be communist, who am I to say that's not right for them? I don't think it is, but if they want to be, that's okay. But there are these powers that don't want that because there's always, even within these power structures, there's fights among them. That's what that one is. And you can find, you know, like I say, the declassified information on Project Gladio. It's all out there. It's absolutely amazing stuff.
Well, it keeps you so that you're not just going to suck up whatever you're being told because you're going to be able to use your own brain a little bit.
Yeah, one last one before we go, and then, you know, we've only gone halfway through. We'll bring up the other 10 later.
Mm-hmm.
COINTELPRO, sometimes you hear that if you go on a conspiracy site. Again, this is it's famous by its own word, derived from the full operational name, Counterintelligence Program. See, these are these programs within, say, it started with the FBI and under Hoover, where they create these fake organizations. I can pretend that this Antifa thing, and even some of these KKK people, are actually CIA members, and they do it.
Yeah.
They do it to instigate and stir things up,
mm.
and to keep the people fighting each other, to keep the whites fighting the blacks, the rich fighting the poor. Well, not so much the rich; they're kind of out of it.
I think that's one reason why, when you look at all this stuff, you realize that they're being bussed in.
Oh yeah,
they do it because they're being paid to do it.
Absolutely.
So,
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I hope everybody will look this stuff up because it'll just, you know, go on and check things out. Don't just take things for granted that's what they said, so therefore it is. It just you know, that we've been lied to so damn many times.
Yeah, don't believe
that. Accept it.
Don't believe every conspiracy theory either. However,
no.
Get the facts. You'll start to see how things are really going.
All right. Have a good week.
Thanks, Judy. And you've been listening to The Unknown Zone with Judy and Dave. Thanks for joining us, and join us again next week for another hour of The Unusual.